It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us now, I think we can officially say our official draft expert, that is Mike Mayock. Mike, thank you for joining us for the wrap-up.
My pleasure, guys.
So I guess just a general big picture take on what you how you thought the Eagles did this weekend.
I liked pretty much just about everything they did. I think we anticipated philosophically they had to go defense. They did. The first five picks were defense. Like usual, they kind of get the steal of the first round with Jihad Campbell, who I had going number 9 to New Orleans in a mock draft. He's today's futuristic off-the-ball inside linebacker. They got a safety who can also play nickel. They got a couple of laboratory pieces for Stoutland University who are very talented kids in the sixth round. And Howie pulled off a classic Howie move where in the third round, pick 96, they traded down twice. They went from 96 to 111. That's what? 15, 16 places. Effectively, half of one round is what they traded down. And it netted them 3 extra draft picks, 2 this year and 1 next year. So I thought it was a typical high-level Eagles draft.
You mentioned Jihad Campbell as a, an off-ball linebacker. There's been some conversation about his future, whether it's at edge or whether it is at linebacker. What do you see from him moving forward?
Yeah, I when I say he's kind of a futuristic guy, I think given what offenses do today, the proliferation of wideouts, athletic tight ends, 1 and 2 back sets, there's a variety of different things you've got to handle. And there are just so many different sub-defenses you can have. When you get interchangeable pieces that can do more than one thing, there's true value attached to that. So this is a guy that your base defense can sit and play off the ball linebacker. He's got great speed. He can play pass coverage, both man-to-man and zone. I'd like to see him a little heavier coming downhill and in heavy run game stuff. But he can also stay on the field in all your sub-packages, and maybe that's where he's going to be his best. He can rush inside on the A-gap. You can put his hand in the dirt and put him outside at the 9 technique and let him play a defensive end or a 3-4 outside linebacker. Does he need to develop as an edge rusher? Yes. He didn't do that primarily at Alabama. But when he had the opportunity, he took advantage, and he did. That's what he was in high school. So I think for a creative defensive coordinator, and that's what the Eagles have, there's a real opportunity to use this kid and develop him in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I love the fact that he loves studying guys like Fred Warner as a linebacker. And I tell you, Mike, if he can be Fred Warner, I'd be more than happy with that with this kid.
Yeah, and Fred went in what, the third round, I want to say. I mean, this kid has every bit. He's got as much or more talent than Fred Warner. And now it's just about, A, staying healthy because he's had some health issues, and, B, applying himself to the best of his ability. And I think Vic will get it out of him, Mike.
Safety out of Texas. Is it Mukuba? How do you pronounce that?
Mukuba? Drew Mukuba, right?
Drew Mukuba. I can't say I saw a lot of him play down there in Texas, although, listen, Texas plays in a lot of big games in the SEC. They've been in the playoffs the last couple of years. He's played in big games. How do you like that pick, and where do you see him sort of as a safety at this level as well?
Yeah, it was interesting because he spent his first 3 years at Clemson, and I'm not even sure he had an interception at Clemson, and then he transferred to Texas and had 5 picks this year. So they got him around the ball more. He translates as a free safety and nickel. He's got experience at nickel. He even played a little corner outside stuff at Clemson. So he's a guy with a lot of versatility, finished with the ball in his hands 5 times this year, which I think is a big deal. I think when the Eagles go to camp, you know, they'll line up with Blankenship and probably Sidney Brown at strong safety. But this Mukuba kid ought to push both those guys. I think he's more of a free safety. But the cool thing is, and I think what Vic will appreciate, is both Cooper DeJean and this kid have the ability to play multiple positions. McCubbin can play free safety and nickel. I think Cooper DeJean could play all five positions back there at a fairly high level.
Mike Mayock with us. Now, Mike, the quarterback factory struck again. The Eagles took Kyle McCord, one of my favorites in the sixth round. What did you think of McCord?
See, this is where I have to be honest and tell you that even though he's a St. Joe prep kid, I did about 130, 140 kids on tape, and he was not one of them.
Oh, okay.
So when I don't see a tape, I don't talk about a kid. I saw him on TV. I'm excited about him in Philadelphia because of his background at the prep, but I can't really compare him to what you need to hear.
So, like, can I just go back to Campbell one second? And this goes back to something you told us when we were first talking about the draft. You were saying when, you know, all the teams get the same medicals and everybody looks at them differently. So, you know, what we heard was that Jihad Campbell was slipping because of the shoulder issue. A labral tear in his shoulder had surgery. It doesn't seem to me, hearing about that surgery, that would cause that sort of drop. Is there any insight you can give as to why that sort of thing would be such a red flag?
There was a late conversation that went around the league about a knee issue also.
Okay. And it seems like he had a scope in 23, I think.
But something came up again.
Okay.
Last month of the draft about his knee. And I can tell you, when I was with the Raiders, like we would, depending on the doctor, a doctor might say you're meeting with the head coach and the GM, and you've got your doctors in, and you're going through all the red flags. And a doctor might say something like, at most, you'll get one contract out of him. He's got a chronic knee. Or, you know, that's a common thing you might hear from a doctor. Okay? And then a GM and a head coach have to sit down and say, well, wait a minute. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that about a player. He's got one contract in him, and he plays 10 years in the league without a problem.
Right.
Okay. But you do. Your owner sits in a lot of those meetings, and you do have to be very cognizant and aware that if you draft a kid that technically has a problem that your doctor identified, and he gets hurt year one with a knee and never plays again, and you took him in the first round, he's going to look at you as the GM. So you've got to be very aware of all that stuff, but the Eagles obviously looked at it and said, it's not a problem for us, and we've got the infrastructure that we believe in.
So, Mike, the biggest story of the weekend was Shedeur Sanders' slide from, I would say, 4 months ago. He was thought of as a top three pick, and then he ends up sliding to the fifth round with the Browns. What did you think of him going into the draft? And then, B, can you give us some insight as to why you think he slid the way that he slid?
So, from an evaluation perspective, I did a lot of tape on him, 23 and 24. I had a similar grade on him that I had on Bo Nix a year ago, and I was probably low on Bo Nix. I had a second-day grade on him. Okay, I had a second-day grade on Shedeur. I had a second-day grade on Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. Okay, and typically kids get elevated, quarterbacks get elevated because of the need throughout the league. So that was my evaluation, potential starter, day two pick. When he didn't go in the first round, I thought for sure he would go with two or three. I wasn't in any of the meetings. There's a lot of innuendo out there, and I can't jump in on either side because I've never met the kid in my life. I do know when you look at a situation where there's a lot surrounding him, just like I look at a Tim Tebow years ago. You know, Tim Tebow, if he was going to be your starting quarterback and take you to playoffs and all, you'll put up with the circus surrounding him. But as soon as he wasn't a starter anymore, nobody wanted to deal with that, right?
Yep.
So I don't know to what level that occurred, but I think a lot of teams would look at it and say, what do we want to deal with here? And again, I've never met the kid, so I am not going to take any shots there whatsoever. I thought he was a second-day pick.
Yeah, Mike, I had mentioned earlier that it's one thing to go through the evaluation process of the game footage. You've talked about that, the stuff you see that they did throughout the season. Then you have the the gym shorts Olympics at the combine, right? You do that part. But then there's the getting to know the player, the evaluation, the sitting down in meetings, communicating with him, getting to know him a little bit personally as much as you can in as short a time as you can. How often does that sort of turn or change the perception of a player, regardless if it's, and I would imagine it's more important for a quarterback because of the position he plays and the impact that he has. But how much does that change once a GM or coaches get a chance to sit down and meet a player face to face and talk with them, and whether or not that can turn an organization sort of away from a player?
Yeah, the game tape should trump all, with the caveat that the quarterback position, like you just said, it's really critical. If you're looking at a kid that potentially is the face of your organization, your head coach, your offensive coordinator, your quarterback coach, your owner want to get to know this kid prior to taking him, especially if you're using a first or second round pick. You want to know who this kid is. You do all the homework you can possibly do. And again, I can't tell you what kind of impression the kid did or didn't make when he got inside buildings, but I can tell you that those impressions are really important, especially to coaches. And coaches look at it like, you're the guy that we've got to get the most out of to make our team better. And are you going to live in that building? Are you going to grind? Are you going to be able to lift weights with the offensive linemen? Are you going to be able to get the respect from everybody in that building and lead us? And that starts with little simple things. And if I don't know anything about Shador, mm-hmm. but if a coach doesn't like a presentation, whether it's on a Zoom call or in your building or wherever, that can hurt a kid, I think, especially at that position.
Yep.
What do you make of, and it's bit, I don't know if you watched it live, and I'm sure you've certainly seen the clips, Mel Kiper Jr.'s sort of reaction to his slide was something that I've never seen on television.
I've never seen anything
before.
Like it before, Mike. I swear I've never seen anything like Mel this weekend. I've never seen it. And I watch the draft every year. And Mel has had his moments over the years. I've been watching the draft since the early 90s, so Mel has been around for a long time. I remember the Vince Tobin stuff. Like, I remember all that stuff. I thought this weekend, Mike, my goodness, he was in his personal feelings over this Shador Sanders thing.
So you guys know my background, and I did the NFL Network version of that 20 years almost. So I'm loyal to my guys there, and I watch them. But
me too, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
I watched NFL Network too until Spike told me about Mel.
Yeah, Ike was doing the show on Thursday night, and I was home watching ESPN. And I told him on Friday, I was like, "Dude, you got to see Mel Kiper with this Shador Sanders thing. I've never seen anything like it." Yeah,
it's hard because it felt like he took it personally. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yep.
And when you're doing that job, you can invest a lot of time and effort, and kind of him going off in the entire league, not knowing how to evaluate quarterbacks and all that. It, on one hand, I understand you get frustrated at things, and he's been doing this for a long time, so I give him a lot of respect. But I just thought he kind of went off the deep end, and it went on for way too long.
Yeah.
Mike Mayock with us. Mike, one more from me. The Eagles did not draft one player that they brought in for a top 30 visit, which was strange. As a former GM, does that feel out of the ordinary to you?
The people don't really understand the 30 visits are kind of, they're a gamut of different types of players. It's not the top 30 players on your board or even close. It's usually guys that you have medical questions on, off the field questions on. Sometimes guys you don't think are going to get drafted that you want to recruit as undrafted free agents when the draft ends, and you want them to know you're interested in them prior to it starting, in addition to some of the guys you might take up top. So it's a little surprising that none of them got drafted, but I certainly wouldn't see it as a major aberration.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate the analysis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there is no No real emotional meltdown from you here, but maybe we'll check in next time. Maybe next year you'll have one.
I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for
all right, Mike. Thanks, Mike. There he is, Mike Mayock. Why can't I get my mouse?
I mean, I can appreciate, and again, I'm like Mike, I watch more of the NFL Network stuff than I do ESPN. But you drew my attention to the ESPN footage, so I definitely checked it out Friday night. And he was still going all Friday night.
It got worse.
Yes.
It got worse. Yeah.
I mean, he literally was like, the NFL ought to be ashamed of themselves. They don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. I'm like, well, Mel, they do get some of them, right?
Right. He was just naming the guys they got wrong. And then Reese Davis just being basically like, dude, shut up. Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah.
All right.
But I will say this. I think Shador actually landed in a good spot for him to have a real chance of winning the starting job. Maybe not coming right out of training camp, but like there isn't a whole lot on the roster right now in Cleveland where you're like, yeah, we got our franchise quarterback here.
Well, what was interesting is they drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third. They were definitely drafting Dylan Gabriel.
They listened to you.
Hold
on. Spike said the 5'10 lefty is 27
Andrew
years old.
Barry?
Well, look.
Sign me up.
Look, man, Mayock had Bo Nix wrong too, so just mentioning. But they were definitely drafting him as a quarterback room backup quarterback. That's what they wanted. Yeah. You know, like Dylan Gabriel is not the starter there.
Right.
Joe Flacco is almost 40 years old. Deshaun Watson is never going to play again. Kenny Pickett has tiny hands.
Yep.
Like
Super Bowl champion.
The Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett, but he still has tiny hands. You know, he's got a chance to
go prove it.
Right.
Like you got a shot. Like it's not like you. That's why I come in here. You're not going to beat out Jalen, or it's not likely you're beating out Jalen Hurts to be a starting quarterback. Like you can actually win the starting job in Cleveland.
Sure, yeah.
You can win the starting job in Cleveland.
I'm surprised the Cowboys didn't take him. I mean, I know that Dak, I get it.
It's already a circus.
I'm with you, yeah.
But like, it's such a Jerry thing to do. It's not like the Manziel first round thing that he's begging for them. It's about the fourth round. You tell me, Jerry, who is obsessed with that team, being in the talking, in the news.
Right.
Yeah. Surprised he didn't take it just for content.
Well, but that is a team, by the way, that Dion... if you think about hassle, if you're Jerry Jones, you know who's going to call you constantly about your...
Did they interview Dion?
I think they were talking about
it. Right,
there was
something
talk,
happened,
and then they both, I think, publicly said that they weren't interested or something like that. So, 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, I hope Jack gave you all the message. Hey, I'm actually in the scene of the crime right now. I'm talking at a conference up in the land in Cleveland, and they hyped about Shador Pierce. They putting up
I bet they are, considering what else they have on the roster.
They putting up their watch thing.
Yeah.
Look, man, I've been in and out listening. First of all, Elliot, I got to address some stuff. Elliot, you riding too hard, dog. You up here talking about the guy might not live up to the potential if he ain't an edge rusher. Like, when Zach Bond drafted to be an edge rusher? Like, so Zach Bond ain't no good story because he playing middle linebacker? Like, what is this guy talking about? Like, I don't get, he fall too hard on the sword. Like, if this dude come out and he Fred Warner, shoot, even if he Roquan Smith.
Exactly, yes.
That's a hit. I don't know. I feel like with the Eagles, they put a lot of hits at the edge rusher. Like, they signed a little, you know, the Uches and
Ojulari.
Ojulari, you know, they drafted a sixth-round dude. Elliot told me, you know, Jalen Tom supposed to be the next Brandon Graham. He loved Nolan Smith, so why would we want a guy, you know, who you know, why would we want a guy that will not play? Like, you know what I'm saying? Based off what he's saying, you know, I would love Zach Bond and Campbell in the middle. You know, I give the draft a good B+, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The second round pick, Makuba, a lot of people saying he's too small. He reminds me a lot of Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu was a nickel, small guy, you know, hit hard. You know what I'm saying? So I get a draft good B+. You know, I'm not going to overhype it. I like the first two picks. I like the Ty Robinson pick. I just think this team didn't address the cornerback position. Like, I'm not high on Keely Ringo. I'm sorry. I might be wrong about him.
You don't like the 5'9 guy they took in the fifth round, Mac Williams?
He's more of a nickel. And then
that's Avante Maddox, man.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, like, as quiet as it's kept, like, I know people don't want to hear this. This team might think about playing Cooper DeJean on the outside. I mean, I know we don't want that, But it's like when you sit here and look at what they do, they draft a nickel corner. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
I tell you what, we're going to find out if they put him out there. Yeah. We'll see if he can play out there.
Won't be quite as exciting a White on the outside, I don't think. I don't know. He doesn't look like he has the speed to play outside.
He ran a 4.43, so I mean, like that's playable on the outside. But like you draft a guy like Keely Ringo in the fourth round. This dude been sick. He wasn't even the backup behind Isaiah Rodgers. Isaiah Rodgers was the backup. So you think they just going to hand him the job? And let me address Spike real quick, because, you know,
what did I do now?
I always got to address him. Let me tell you this dude, Kyle McCord, right? Let's talk about these ACC quarterbacks. They put up that. You look at a guy like, you know, Daniel Jones, right? You look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence, right? You look at a guy like EJ Manuel. Like, when you play in the ACC, it's not great competition, so you put up a lot of yards. Elliott said Kyle McCord didn't play with a lot of talent. Boy, he left Ohio State, right? Like, he
a lot of talent there. Yeah, it was a lot of talent there.
He left because he had a down season, and they told him he wasn't guaranteed the starting job next year. So he bounced, you know, and went up to Syracuse. Matter of fact, he committed to Nebraska, and then when Raiola went there, he left there, and then he committed to Syracuse. But this dude don't want to compete. You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
Oh, that's BS.
Exactly right.
No.
Classic St. Joe's prep guy.
No. You're talking about college football
just like
now.
The camera.
No, these guys transfer all the time. Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, we can't say that nowadays. Yeah. They all transfer.
These guys, if they're not going to start, they leave. That's what happens.
All I'm saying is this dude play with talent. Like he
can
play.
He can play.
You know,
play.
But like he ain't better than no Tanner McKee. I mean, he might be better than DTR, but like he's not the third or fourth
but,
best.
But here's the thing. Yes, he is. But here's the thing, Corey, is that Tanner McKee's only got 2 years left before they have to pay him. So he's going to end up being he's going to be the next Tanner McKee.
You act like Tanner McKee going to get a top deal.
He's
like,
going to still start somewhere.
Yeah, we're extending Tanner McKee. How much? Right. 6 years?
You know, I
mean,
like I said, like Kyle McCord, like listen, everybody that's a Buckeye fan, and are you supposed to be with us? I thought you was with us.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Corey, is that obvious that, you know, we were talking last week. I don't watch college football, and maybe I have to pick a big program team because Syracuse is where I graduated. I'm not watching ACC football. I got to watch big football. And we were thinking about maybe me cheering for Ohio State. You have to approve that before that ever happens.
If you root for the ACC got two hits. You got Mike Vick. You got McNabb. That's it. All the rest of the dudes garbage. So come over. You, if you want
Matt
to
Ryan,
that's cool. That's cool.
Philip Rivers.
You know Matt Ryan. Okay, but you know, like when you come, if you want to root for Ohio State, you got to be all in. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Will Howard better than Kyle McCord, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, stop it.
And he's from a better town.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
hold on. Where did Will Howard go?
What's that?
Well, he's from Downingtown.
No. I mean, what school? What team drafted him? Yeah.
He got drafted by Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah. Four picks later, hey, all I know is one guy changed, and we won the chip, baby. Just
look,
one guy out, all, put a guy in.
Corey, you said I have to be – I'm in on one particular thing, and that is the tape. I just I am loyal to one thing, the tape. And hey, if you want me to be more loyal to Ohio State than the tape, that look, I'm a tape guy.
I'm gonna go ahead and start this for Ike and Jack, you know what I'm saying? And you might be on this too. You know what I'm saying? This year we're going to play out. A.J. Brown do a little contract, all that, play that out. 2 years, you know, we going to get Jeremiah. You know what I'm saying? That's what we going to do.
Oh, man.
2 years, we're gonna get, hey, A.J., listen, they were talking about
trade. How the hell are we going to get Jeremiah Smith, man? We're not going to be bad enough to get him.
Hey, everybody's talking about trading A.J. for fourth pick. Hey, that's the year we're going to talk about.
Corey, next question today. Give us your favorite stand-up comedian.
Hey, Marty Marr.
Martin Lawrence.
Oh, Martin Lawrence.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Martin
sir.
Lawrence was awesome.
Martin Lawrence, yeah.
Martin Lawrence was awesome.
Yep, Martin Lawrence had some good stand-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go Eddie, Martin. Well, my top is Bernie. Bernie is my top.
Yeah.
Eddie, Martin. And it's one other one I would – oh, no, it's already been said. Dave Chappelle. That's probably my top four. There's some other good ones there, but that's probably my top four right
there. You wouldn't have Pryor before your time a little bit?
I put Richard Pryor before those guys, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to see the best of Richard Pryor.
He's an OG. Richard Pryor's
with the Red Foxes of the world, those guys, yeah. I just mean the guys we grew up watching.
Yep. 215-592-9494, talking Eagles draft. Shador, maybe sprinkle in a little Phils if you want to talk about them. Phils are hot.
The Toy is still one of my favorite movies.
What's that?
The Toy.
Oh, The Toy is awesome. Now, you want to talk about movies that don't really age particularly well? You watch The Toy.
The Toy.
And you're like.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. They bring a large black man to the party.
Yes. I mean, they bought the black guy.
Yes.
But the toy
when you think
is
of the concept. Yeah, yes. You're like, oh yeah, that might not fly today.
It's still very funny, but you have to realize when it was made.
Yes.
All right. Coming up next, we'll find out what.
I forgot
what,
about that part.
Yeah. You know, a little bit.
Bought a toy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Howie did talk about Dallas Goedert, who did not get traded. Sounded a little bit different.
Doesn't sound good for Goedert.
No, he was a little, well, whatever. We'll play that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.